The Dialogue with Clement Manyathela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
So, on our Thursday dialogue today, I want us to talk about race and how big a factor it is for political parties in their election campaigning. Which racial groups are political parties trying to appeal to more ahead of elections? What are the issues that they're using to appeal to the voters? And are they genuinely representing the interests of such racial groups, or are they using them for votes? Because, as I said earlier, representation matters, even in politics. We always want to know that parties we vote for have our best interests at heart. We always want to feel seen. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be represented as voters. That's a natural thing. But sometimes that happens in campaign messages. It happens in manifestos. But there's no genuine interest and intention by political parties to advance our interests, whatever race you are. So I want us to have a chat this morning, some analysis on what the political parties are doing, because some are making different moves. But also, how genuine, you know, are their interests in various racial groups? Right? Do they even have offerings on creating inclusivity? Right? What's their view, for instance, on things like anti-racism? Because often these things are contained in manifestos, but when you look at the parties themselves, sometimes their messaging and sometimes their policies, that's completely different. So let me know what your thoughts are on race and what kind of role it plays in party elections campaign. And what do you expect from the political parties yourself when it comes to addressing the issue of race? If we were any other country, this wouldn't be a big deal. It is a big deal in this country because of our history. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can send your WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702. Let me introduce you to my guests. I've got Terry Oakley-Smith, who is the Managing Director of Diversity, who's joining us for this conversation via Zoom. Terry, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to my fellow panelists. Thank you for the invitation.
We also have Sandile Swana, who is a political analyst. Sandile, thanks for also making time. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Clement, and good morning to Terry.
We also have Tsidi Madia, who is in studio with us, EWN's Associate Editor for Politics. Tsidi, thanks for also coming through.
Always a pleasure making time. Good morning to everyone.
Okay, so Terry, you and I have had our own off-air chats about issues of racism and political parties and whether or not they're offering and or they're even interested in inclusivity. Let me just first get your views on, from what you have seen during manifesto launches and the campaign messages by political parties, is race playing a big factor? And what is that factor? What are you observing?
You know, Clement, since we last spoke informally, I was talking to you about the issue of the posters. If you drive around, and I must admit I've only driven around Johannesburg, almost every poster you see features an African man on it, a black man on it, except for there's one poster that where John Steenhuisen shares the poster with somebody else. Mm. So I guess the issue of gender is what really leaps up at me. Mm. It's almost as if there are, although we are the majority of voters, 55% of those registered to vote are women, certainly wouldn't think that from looking at the posters. Mm. But what I've been doing this morning and yesterday is looking through the manifestos to see which parties actually talk about race and talk about non-racism or talk about anti-racism. And they're different. And although some parties mention non-racism, I couldn't find any parties. I must confess, I didn't go through every single one on the list of 52, but I looked at all the major parties and some of the up-and-coming smaller parties. And it doesn't seem to me that race is of itself a huge issue in this election at the moment. There are, of course, parties where people assume that people of a certain race will vote for them. For example, the Freedom Front Plus talks about things like skin color cannot be used as an indication of being disadvantaged, which I thought was quite interesting, and talks about Christian values, which probably means that they're appealing mainly to Christian people. And then the two that actually did mention non-racism were Bosa, Musi Maimane's party, and Rise Mzanzi also talked about that although apartheid was dead, there were still racist incidents and atrocities, and saw that as being something that they would address if they came into power. But what worries me slightly as somebody who is extremely interested in race, first of all, is that we as white people only make up 7% of the population. So even if we all voted for one party, they wouldn't necessarily get anywhere with such a small grouping of whites. But I think there is, for example, if one looks at the Western Cape at the moment, there are concerns around race that arise there. And perhaps Sandile and Sidi want to say more about that. But although I've always thought that race must be hardwired into our politics, I'm not sure that it's going to be a huge issue in this particular election.
Sidi, what are your thoughts? I mean, there are instances where during elections, ahead of elections, when political parties are campaigning, you know, they always want to be strategic about finding issues they can use to be seen to be appealing and having an interest in particular racial groups. What have you observed during this election campaigning? Are you seeing other parties also trying to see if they can get into, you know, get the votes from other racial groups?
I think it's interesting for me, these elections, because South Africans aren't particularly interested themselves in identity politics. South Africans are looking at paycheck issues. South Africans are looking at issues that are affecting day to day. But the political parties, for me, have been unable to move away from identity politics. And I know Terry just mentioned the Freedom Front Plus. I also remember going through their manifesto. I think I reviewed it some time ago. And what struck out for me isn't necessarily the outward explanation of who and what we stand for. You see the preservation and the push to preserve Afrikanerdom, if you may, in what, for me, are code words, if you can, you know, wanting to preserve communities, speaking about the value of mother tongue education, speaking about standing up and building, and of course the complete ban on any targets that speak to transformation and viewing that as elite and an enemy really of progress. So and then I had a sit down with Dr. Pieter Groenewald, who then says quite boldly, we are getting letters, their requirements or requests to the Freedom Front Plus in Soweto. And I said to him, well, if that's the case, one would ask you, what are you doing about it? Are you grooming leadership in those quarters? And he was almost offended at being asked, if you say that there are people looking for you because you have these stable, consistent policies, what are you doing to further those people's involvement in your party and their growth within the party? And he just couldn't fathom what I was saying. But for me, my greatest takeaway was, the FF Plus continues to exist purely for preservation. It is very clear in who it's speaking to. It might not boldly outward say, this is who we are and this is what our race politics are. But if you read between the lines, you get it quite clearly. The anti-transformation targets, to a degree, exist in the the Democratic Alliance's manifesto. These complete disapproval of ideas like affirmative action that are meant to help with transformation, the complete rejection thereof, might not find expression be elaborated in the manifesto, but you hear it when you listen to the leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when you listen to federal leader of the Democratic Alliance, John Steenhuisen, and you understand what the identity politics are. You understand that there's a departure from what broadened the appeal of the DA under Helen Ziller, when it could finally go to places that it couldn't in townships, and now there's a departure from the concept of diversity. Mm-hmm. It is not in the manifesto. It is in what is being said by the different leaders. So I do think so. On the flip side, very quickly, you have an EFF that has been viewed in a particular manner. I think they're realizing that South Africans want to be united. South Africans want to be united, and that brings the ceiling much lower for any political party. So what you are finding as we speak is a Malema in Lanesha was there on Saturday, is a Malema in Eldorado Park. I sent Atabiso was there yesterday. He's planning to meet with white communities, and he said, this is breaking new ground for us. We've never been here. This is virgin territory. We want you to see for yourselves that we can work together. Mm-hmm. Julius Malema is actually preaching a message of finding one another. It's not necessarily a departure from their policies, but it's a recognition mm-hmm. that actually people realize that they want to not be divided through your messaging as a political party, and you need to pull the opposite direction. So that's kind of been what I'm watching between the manifestos, but mostly listening and watching the leaders themselves.
Yeah. And Sandile, what's been your observation?
Thank you, Clement. You know, I'll talk from actual experience on the ground rather than the messaging at the moment. You know, there was a time, I think in the last national election, when there was chaos in Alert, and Ramaphosa went there and promised all kinds of jobs and other things. During that time, that chaos and protests were happening in Alert, leading up to the 2019 election, I wanted to talk to ward councillors there in Alert. And there were only ANC, Black ANC ward councillors. Outside of the Alex area in Weinberg and so on, into the Sentin areas, it was white DA councillors. So if we were to look at the actual composition of council in a lot of these municipalities, and I was looking at Tegurulene recently, the racial composition of a suburb, by and large, according to what I observe in the statistics, dictates whether that is going to be a DA or an ANC ward. By and large, that is the truth. To me, that is not surprising, because people must vote according to what they are interested in and what they think will protect their interests. Whites are correct in wanting to protect their privilege. If they have it, and whether they're in the US, UK, anywhere, anybody who's privileged wants to protect their privilege, and they want a party that will do that. Then the last thing I'll say about this is that the two dimensions of this, the one dimension being that this idea of non-racialism, for a lot of the time, the ANC claimed it for itself and labeled BCM and the PAC as anti-white. But when you listen to the recordings of Stephen Biko and Sobukwe, you discover that these were the guys in the very early days were promoting non-racialism. Mm-hmm. The last thing I will say is that when you look at the Stats SA data, the position of Africans and the so-called colored communities has deteriorated since 1994. So even if the ANC were to claim that it represented the interests of black people, in measurable terms, it has not.
Mm. Yeah. It's 21 minutes after 11 o'clock. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation on our Thursday dialogue this morning. Do you think race is a big factor for political parties as they campaign ahead of elections? What are you observing about their messaging? It's no longer enough to just assume, well, you know, people who support the EFF are black, or who support the ANC or the DA or the Freedom Front Plus are of this particular race. Political parties are realizing that this is uncharted territory. We are most likely getting into a coalition. So
The Dialogue with Clement Maniatela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
It's 26 minutes after 11 o'clock on our Thursday dialogue this morning. I'm asking, how big is race a factor for political parties in their election campaigning? And how big is race a factor for you as a voter as well? Do you care much about the party's policies, their intentions around race, around redress, around equality? Are you a type that says, as long as I've got the good leaders? Or is that one of your deal breakers? If there's a party that doesn't directly speak to that issue to your satisfaction, then you are out. Your calls on 011-883-0702. WhatsApps on 0727021702.
Good morning, Clement. On race, as far as politicians are concerned during electioneering, the Red Berets were strategic in putting Carl Nieuwhuis among the top. However, and also for the leader to claim that, you see, you can vote for us, we have light-skinned people. However, he went to mess it up by singing Kill the Boer. Even if the court didn't find fault with him, he should by now know that there are people whose feathers are ruffled, and if he really needs their votes, it's not to sing the song. Mm. Thanks, Dima.
Interesting. Siri, your thoughts on Carl Nieuwhuis? And also, I don't think Malema necessarily regrets ever singing the song.
No, gosh, no. Julius Malema regrets anything? I don't think so. Actually, again, I said to you earlier, I was in Lanesia, where he did say to the crowd, you see this one, Carl Nieuwhuis is a veteran. And then he said, white people, look, he's so high up on our list to show you that we want a white person to represent us in the EFF. But you also need to look at their policies that led the rules that they put together ahead of their selection process. That it did speak about minorities. The EFF has been quite deliberate about seeking representation from minorities in parliament. I remember the preliminary list had Carl Nieuwhuis maybe at a number 40. Seeing him at number 27 wasn't surprising at all. Him returning to parliament via a different ticket isn't surprising in any way. It is cause for contention for some in the EFF. Let me not make that mistake. They are also watching. Their EFF members are watching the rise of Carl Nieuwhuis, who arrived in December and was suddenly on the EFF's podcast weeks later, was seen speaking on behalf of the party somewhere else within weeks. And they will say to you, we work so hard. Why is Carl Nieuwhuis being catapulted to the top? Before that process happened, fighters said to me, watch Carl go to parliament. So as it unfolded, I knew what was going to happen. But again, there's a reasoning behind the madness. Yeah. And Malema communicates that quite clearly, that we want to show minorities that we want you as members of the EFF. We want white people to represent us. So Carl Nieuwhuis is a perfect example for him of that.
Terry, what do people care that much about those optics? Like from your observation, your experience, do people really care about, are we being represented? Do they care that, oh, there's a white, there's a black, there's colored, there's an Indian somebody in the leadership, and this is what the party's policies are around race? So is it mostly about bread and butter issues for most people? Is that a factor for them?
Well, I guess it is essentially about bread and butter issues, but I want to disagree with CD.
Mm.
CD, I don't think there's any way that Carl represents white people, and I say that as a white person. I think bringing Carl Nieuwhuis into your party is not going to attract a lot of white people into it. But Clement, I think there is something called consciousness of kind.
Mm.
Consciousness of kind. And sometimes we call it PLU, people like us. So very often when we're thinking about who to vote, we do think about, well, are these people like me?
Mm.
Not necessarily or only, especially only in color or gender, but do they represent what I want? Are they promising the kind of things that I would like to see happening? And I think that's actually quite an important aspect, people like us element. But they've got to be like us. They can't be like Carl Nieuwhuis.
Mm-hmm. It's 11:31. So this is the Thursday Dialogue. And today on our Thursday Dialogue, we are discussing race and how big a factor it is for political parties in their election campaigning. But I also want to know from you as well, what are your expectations as a voter? Because political parties are trying to appeal to you, whatever race you are, whatever gender you are. But what are you expecting from them? Are you a type that says, this is a deal breaker, I want to know what their plans are, I want to see representation, I want to see even in their campaign messaging, being very open and talking about racial justice? Let me know on 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. Jacques, you are calling us from Johannesburg. What are your thoughts? Good morning.
Hi, Clement, and your panelists.
Sure.
Just two things for me. The first one is, I don't think Carl is going to last in the EFF. I don't see Carl arranging 50 or 10 buses of people of any color to go to a rally. That's the first one. Second thing is, I think, you know, race. In my assessment, has changed color. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot today in today's world in South Africa, after there's so many changes over the last 30 years, assume necessarily that certain things that would have appealed to black people 25 years ago would be appealing to the same black people today. So, for example, I mean, if you look at how suburbs have changed and you know, skin color and so on, and people's state of standards of living and so on, so you can't be taking a message, for example, that talks about RDPs and no fuel schools to a certain group of people just based on their skin color and hope that you'll appeal to them. Or, for example, on the opposite end, taking a message that's got to do with, you know, giving people agricultural skills and so on, and hope that you will attract young white potential farmers. So I think race has really changed color in a lot of ways. I mean, you can also see that in marketing messages of companies where they're very careful about, you know, what message to send through. Are you talking about a solution to people? Are you talking appealing to them by race?
Okay, Jacques in Johannesburg, thank you so much, man, for your contribution. Hassan, I see you. I'll come to you in a moment. Sandile, your reflections on that?
My reflections on that, I think that I'll just make this example because, I mean, people tend to talk about abstract things that we can never decipher what they are. I live in Malda's Drift, which is Mohale City, Ward 39. This is where I live. For instance, yesterday I drove around the ward. Next week we're voting. We've got a by-election here. And in my road, there are only DA posters. The EFF is not there. Action SA is not there. ANC is not there. And I drove yesterday from here to Mohalesburg. And our ward is very big. This is a rural farming area. The only posters on the polls, and we're voting, I'm voting on the 23rd, 23rd and 24th, we're voting here next week. The only posters on the polls are DA posters. And when you look at the demographics of this ward, it is white. And they are going to vote. We are going to vote for the DA here. That's it. These other parties are not in play here because of the demographics of this area. So, The issue, you need to really say that people need to know the services that must be delivered. Property owners, and these are property owners, these are land owners, want certain things, and the party, and they are white, and they are going to vote for the DA. Again, when you go to Soweto, there are things there that arise. Indeed, I agree, that arise, that would not arise here in Malta. But having said all of that, I don't know how many ones the DA has won so far in Soweto. I don't know. But if I were to look at the statistic today, I would expect the ANC to dominate the actual ones. I would expect Gwede Mandasha, and Gwede Mandasha said this openly, he lives in a white area. He lives in a DA ward. Cyril Ramaphosa lives in a DA ward together with Malema in a white area in Sentinel. Those are the realities, and these are driven by interest. So we must not be superficial about that. That people have got interests, and those interests historically have been defined by race. The poverty of black people and the areas that they live in. I mean, I was looking at the map, just the composition, the racial composition of the ward, the Tegoruleni. And you see that special apartheid is in operation. People, white people and black people do not necessarily live in the same wards. So that you need to factor that. You need to factor that.
Hassan, in Johannesburg, what are your thoughts? Good morning.
Hi. In 2021, the South African Institute for Race Relations put out a billboard that said racism is not the problem.
Mm.
And I have tried to argue elsewhere. A number of these people have moved into other agencies, other research bodies, and they've tried to influence a number of key parties with the same messaging. And it seems that their strategy is to run away from talking about race. And they would say stuff like one person's genocide is another person's freedom fighting, you know, don't get away with that, look at the issues of potholes, etc. But this is the strategy that they've adopted. And they, I think you need to spend a little bit more time on some of these lobbying organizations, Brentes Foundation, Social Research, and I don't know what is the one of Cronier, Franz Cronier's one, you know. So clearly they are with this strong messaging to try and get a number of these key parties away from talking about race.
Okay, Hassan in Johannesburg, thank you for your thoughts. Yeah, Tidi, what have you observed about the ANC particularly? Have they tried to, because at some point, I think they were, either intentionally or not, they were trying to be representative. Like there was a time in the NEC where you had about Derek Hanekom, you could see like black, this color.
The idea of non-racialism seemingly existing in the ANC.
But now when you look at it now, I'm not sure.
You know the Ace Makhachule era of the ANC would speak about Africans, black people in particular. I never fully understood what that means. But anyway, they come from that era. And the Nasrec conference, the elective conference that they had, following that, they attempted to rectify that. If you paid attention, they then co-opted people into the NEC. It's the highest decision-making body between conferences. They tried very hard not to have black people being co-opted. Well, Africans, I don't know which way you want to define it, but they looked at the people like Alvin Borters. They attempted to bring in minorities who were not represented in order to fix it. And I think sometime in March last year, I don't know if anyone really remembers this, but the ANC did launch a national working group that was led by white people, and it was meant to attract white people, Indian people, colored people across the country. They were targeting around 20%, that this will give them 20% when South Africa eventually votes. But the way that idea has fallen apart so spectacularly actually tells you about the ANC and the ANC's approach to dealing with the so-called idea of being non-racial as an organization, that they fail. Part of the reasons why people left that particular organization or the subcommittee that was formed is because they're not taken seriously. I think one messaged me about a week ago saying, we are colored, we only work for the ANC for lip service and nothing else. Mm. And that when it comes down to it, they don't take our calls, they don't make time to see us. We're ignored when we're raising issues. There's been a lot of conflict within this particular group. I've even asked the officials in the ANC that, what is actually happening with that group of people? What are you attempting to achieve? Mm. And the inability by the ANC to address this group of minorities that it's gathered in the name of the ANC in order to do elections work is quite telling about the ANC's own approach. I think where the ANC seems to work really hard, again on paper, is around gender parity. I think they apply the zebra, even though there are moments where you can see it's being used for political means and to settle political scores. They apply the zebra so well, where in areas where you've got male mayors, the speakers, you know, and the idea to push female women premiers. So they do that. But where they fall flat for me has to be around non-racialism. You also need to look at the Western Cape. Beyond the era of Ibrahim Rasool, they haven't been able to find defining leaders that can connect with the minority communities there. Yes, some can make an argument about Marius Fransman. He's not a member of the ANC anymore. In fact, he's an opponent.
He's a new party now.
He's an opponent at the moment. But they haven't been able to find anybody else. In fact, there was a great desperation to get Rasool back on the campaign trail to try and connect with colored communities. What I think has been working really well, it's almost a step outside of race, if you may, is the Middle East conflict for them, where the lost support in the Western Cape, there are communities that have turned their back on the ANC, seeing Cyril Ramaphosa in a kafir, seeing and hearing the messaging and seeing the Lady Pando at the Gateway Mosque, that connects with some people and has been working to some degree in their favor.
Yeah. Terry, do you have thoughts on that? Because, I mean, and yes, that's stepping out of a race, but they are like Gaza has become such a big issue. How this government has responded, how parties are seen to be responding. I mean, I saw a picture of the Cape Town mayor having dinner with a Muslim family,
Jordan Hill Lewis.
Having dinner with a Muslim,
during Eid.
And I think it was deleted, that picture, afterwards. The president Ramaphosa also went to. So you see what parties are also trying to do, finding these issues to appeal to minorities.
I think the whole situation in Gaza is so absolutely heartbreaking and appalling that, you know, and I think that South Africa is one of the few countries that actually tried to do something. If you think about our presentation at the UN, our group of lawyers who went there, not that much has transpired as a result, but I think it showed that we are a country that cares about Palestine. And people often remember, although it's very long ago now, what Mandela said, that we can't be free until Palestine can be free.
Mm.
And so I think that if I look, for example, at one of the newer parties, the Rise Mzanzi party, they're being called upon constantly to state where they stand vis-a-vis Gaza.
Mm.
And they sort of tiptoeing around it, but they don't actually want to state where they stand, possibly because of their funding. I have no idea why. But I do think that these other things, like the one you've mentioned, like the war in Gaza, can have an impact on which way people will vote,
yeah,
and how, whether or not they feel that a certain party understands them. And the Muslim community, although quite small, has made quite an impact over the last few weeks because of the Gaza war.
Mm.
And so I think that is something. It's more religion than race, obviously, but I think it's an important thing for us to be considering.
Yeah. And Sandile, your thoughts on that?
Yes, I think that just to be clear, the so-called colored communities in the Western Cape are not a minority. They are not a minority. They are the largest single ethnic group. Mm. They are larger than the Africans. So it has always been unwise and unnecessary for the likes of Skwacha and them to come up with this idea of so-called African leadership, which is one of the concepts that the ANC has had for a long time, which brought me into conflict with some of my comrades during the student leadership days when we had to merge with NUSAS, where they thought that by being African, they are more senior than their white comrades. So they did the same thing in the Western Cape. And I think the colored communities of the Western Cape have been violated, abused, and neglected. And I think that maybe historians will clarify and sociologists will clarify, but my own assessment would be that the colored communities of the Western Cape are being used as a bantustan more than anything else, because the whites in the Western Cape dictated the agenda of the Western Cape. Although the colors make up the largest single group of people there, they don't dictate what goes on in the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. To the extent that they vote for the DA, they vote for the DA as a bantustan of some sort. That would be my view.
All right. 10 minutes now before 12 o'clock. We'll come up back and wrap up with your calls and WhatsApps.
The Dialogue with Clement Manyathela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
It's going up to 8 minutes before 12 o'clock.
Hi, Clement. Brilliant show as always. So whilst I don't know who I'm going to vote for on the 29th, I have made a decision that I'm not going to vote for any political party that is targeting or that targets a specific racial group. Some of them you hear with their rhetoric, and some of them are even like very explicit with whom they are trying to target and whose issues they are advancing. I think as a country, we should focus more on things that bring us together and focus on things that will make this country go forward. I think whilst a conversation about race matters, and it matters truly in this country, I don't think, for me personally, it's an important factor, it's going to be an important factor. So I'm excluding any political party that is that focuses on any specific racial group.
Hi, Clement. As a voter, Race is very important for me as a black man, because a lot of the problems that we face within society do fall along racial lines. If you look at unemployment, crime, etc., as a black male, I'm more affected by these things than a white man. So the thing that always irks me is when a DA kind of tries to run away from race, you know, and say, forget about race, we don't see color. And if you don't see color, it means that you don't see the problems that I face. And then the other thing is that if you say the ANC has failed in the last 30 years, surely it also means that the ANC has also failed at redress. And you should be, they should be playing that ball very hard. And I think it's a missed opportunity on the part of the DA, René Luhia in Northcliffe.
Thank you so much for your WhatsApp voice notes. There is a message I wanted to read here from a listener who says, Clement, to me says, Clement, in order for South Africa to grow and get rid of social ills, we need rapid inclusion of black people into the mainstream economy. If we try to preserve wealth for a few, the entire country will collapse. Most of these preservation parties don't get this. And Dumi there says, a party that he will vote for is a party that is serious about bringing more and more black people into the mainstream economy. Tsidi Madia, Terry Oakley-Smith and Sandy Leswana, thank you so much for making time for us. And thanks to you for your inputs through calls and WhatsApps. It's 6 minutes before 12.